This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, evangelist Adam Borden.
And I want us to look in these verses and think on the thought of having a life on the vine. A life on the vine. Now, before we read our text tonight, the context of where we are, I'm sure you're aware, this is the final hours that Jesus has with his disciples in that upper room before they head to the Garden of Gethsemane, and before that agonizing night of prayer, and before he will begin the process of his mock trial, which leads to his crucifixion on Calvary. So these words are some of the final messages that Jesus gives to his disciples. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 15 of John. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Reading these verses, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity tonight to look into your precious word and gather riches from these pages so that we might bring forth fruit for your glory. Help us in these next few moments as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Upon this thought of a life on the vine, I just want to look at the first couple of verses tonight and draw some thoughts on this life on the vine. Now, as we said, this is a critical moment in the life of Christ, his earthly life, and his last few times to spend communing in peace with his disciples. And it's interesting that he would give this analogy, the vineyard, the vine, the fruit and the branches. It was a very common aspect of their life. They were very familiar with what it took to grow something like grapes and draw fruit from that and draw the benefit of that fruit. And so he's using a very practical application to draw a spiritual meaning and a spiritual wealth unto them. Now I think about this situation that he's speaking, and we know that grapes grow in vineyards, and there are still to this day in that part of the world vineyards which grow grapes and that sort of item. Now, my grandfather on my mother's side, my pawpaw, he grew various grapes. He had a few grapevines. He had a white grapevine. He had a purple grapevine. He had scuppernongs and muscadines. He had all kind of things like that. And I used to love to go with him to pick them and things. I was never that much around when he was doing the work of keeping those vines and making them to produce the right amount of fruit in its good time. But I want us to see some things about a vineyard that we might draw from in our own lives. First of all, in this part of the country and in most places that you see vineyards are usually built upon a slope. Let us turn over to Isaiah chapter number 5 for a moment. Isaiah chapter number 5 and look at the first 7 verses. Now, we have to make a distinction and a difference between grapes and a vine that is grown to be tended and the difference between that and a wild fruit vine. Look in these words in Isaiah chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Now we see in this description in Isaiah the description of what a typical vineyard would have been and still is today in a lot of aspects. First of all, he said it was on a hill. It is built upon a slope. That is an incline or an upward way. Let me just say this unto us. In our Christian life, it is predetermined by God that we should be advancing and we should be growing upward and we should be moving closer to Him in every aspect of our life, every day, every month, and every year that passes. We should be on an upward climb in our growth as a Christian. So it's built upon a slope in an upward inclining way. From our description in Isaiah chapter number 5, it says that it was walled or it was fenced. Now this was done in order to protect the vines and the grapes from things like animals that would come in to take the grapes from the vine, or enemies who would come in to destroy the vine. And so there was a protection that was given. I'm against this idea that we are to live without walls. I know there's churches named that, and I know there's a movement and different things that say we ought to live without barriers and live without walls. Let me just say into this, according to the authority of the Word of God, God is interested in us having some barriers, some hedges, and some walls in our lives. Otherwise, He would not have drawn out the captivity in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around the temple. God is interested in us having some protections and some barriers in our life. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have locks on our doors. Amen? If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have guardrails around curves on the highways. Amen? If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have razor-wired fences around prisons. Amen? And so God is interested in walls of protection in our life. Also in our description in Isaiah, it said there was a tower. A tower. I studied this out, and it's described these towers and these vineyards were there for a watchman, a person, an overseer, if you will, to keep watch and guard the vines and the fruit. Now, this was a time period not very much different than we are today. There was crime in that day, just like there's crime now. There were thieves in that day, just like there's thieves now. And so there had to be somebody who was watching vigilantly over the vineyard to make sure the vines were not damaged and to make sure that the fruit was not stolen by some enemy. So there was a tower there. There had to be vigilant, an overseer, a watcher. And I should say tonight that you would be thankful and you would be correct to be thankful that you've got a pastor who is looking out for your best interest. He's watching out over his flock. He's watching out over your vineyard of a church. He's watching out over what is best for you and making sure that you get the truth of the Word of God and that the enemies are kept outside. Amen? And then finally, in a vineyard and in the operation of a vineyard, there was a press. There was a press, or there was a vat to put the grapes in and to press them, compress them, crush them in order to bring the juice from the grapes. Now, I like to eat grapes just like grapes off the vine. Reach up and grab grapes and eat grapes. I like grapes. I like them fine. But the purpose of a vineyard was to bring forth the juice. Now, there was a special reason a lot of people get all squirrely and mixed up. It's really according to what your heart's intention is. These people who argue about water in the wine, and they had wine in the Bible. Let me tell you why they had wine in the Bible. Because they had dirty water. They had impure water. They had disease-ridden water. They didn't have water purification systems like we do in our municipalities, and we could turn on a spigot and clean water comes out. No. There was not always clean water. If you look at that region in pictures and go online and see, the Jordan River is as muddy as some of these creeks have been in all this rain. It's not fit to drink without a lot and a lot and a lot of processing and purification. But they could squeeze that grape and they could get that juice, and it was a nutrient-filled beverage that would not only give them quenching of their thirst, but give them a nutrient-filled drink. But I want you to see this. In order to get that juice, in order to get that fruit of the vine, it had to be put under pressure. It had to be put into that press, in that vat, and they still process it that way today. But even today, in order to extract that juice from those grapes, it has to come under pressure. It has to come under a lot of pressure. It has to be crushed in order for the final fruit to be brought to the user. Now notice this in verse number 1, quickly. Jesus says back in our text in John chapter 15, I am the true vine. The true vine. Now in our text in Isaiah that we refer to, the husbandman of the vineyard saw that wild grapes grew in his specially tilled vineyard. There's a difference between wild grapes and tended choice grapes. Amen? There's a difference. But he's saying, I am the true vine. What he's saying is, I am authentic. I am the real thing. I'm not a fake. I'm not a fraud. I'm not some wild thing out here that's come in to deceive you, but I'm absolutely the authentic article. I am Jesus. I am the true vine. Now let me notice something else in the description of a vineyard. These vines that the grapes grew upon, they were attached in their early stages to a stake in the ground, and they grew upon a frame where the branches would be spread. Jesus Christ, in his final act of being crushed until the blood came forth, was put upon a cross, much like that vine was attached to that stake. He says, I am the true vine. So we've got the vineyard, we've got Jesus as the true vine, and then we've also got, in the description, the husbandman. Now, what was he? He was overseer. He's the one who actually tended to the grapes. Now, in our description in Isaiah, the husbandman is described as the Father. The husbandman is God the Father. Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the husbandman. Now, what does a husbandman do? Well, he does a very basic thing like any of us that have a garden. Any of us that grow garden or tomatoes or anything like that, amen? Any kind of little garden work, it takes work to make a garden grow, amen? You can throw some seeds out and see what happens, but if you want fruit, if you want more fruit, if you want much fruit, it takes some work of a husbandman who knows how to deal with those plants. And these vineyard men, these husbandmen, they knew what they were doing. They tilled up the ground for planting. They cultivated the ground in order to loosen the soil for the roots to grow. They watered the ground in order to feed the vine so the vine would produce fruit. They tended the vines in order to keep weeds and in order to keep pests out from around the vine. They fertilized the vine in order to feed that vine so it would produce the sweetest grapes. The husbandman, the Father. I'm glad for the day when God the Father tilled up the soil of my heart so the seed of the gospel could find good ground to grow in. Amen.
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N. And click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.